I know how to run a hair salon, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. She's a small business owner too, so she knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
It is a Tuesday edition here on the Believe in Steelers show, recapping the 2024 NFL draft, a special guest here on today's podcast. Before we get too far along, today's sponsor of the Believe in Steelers show is betonline.ag. The NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs are well underway. If you want to place a bet on any of the action, they've got all the stats, news, and scores available to follow all of your favorite teams. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts. Welcome to the Believe in Steelers show. My name is Mark Berg, and I'm very excited to be joined by today's guest. Jeff Hartman with the Steel Curtain Network joined the show, and let me bring Jeff in here. Jeff, good to see you, my friend. NFL draft. I'm excited to chop it up with you here today to talk all things Pittsburgh Steelers and NFL draft. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on the show. You've been a loyal friend of mine in terms of coming on my podcast, the Let's Ride podcast. So I'm fine to, you know, reciprocate and be here on the Believe in Steelers. It's great to be here.
Let's start here, Jeff. I want to know, of all of the Steelers draft picks, which is your favorite and why?
That's a tough question. I really liked a lot of the draft picks, especially the first four. I really liked. My favorite, though, this is going to sound, I'm going to think outside the box. I think it's easy to pick like the first or second round. I'm going to go Roman Wilson, the wide receiver out of Michigan. And I'm going to be frankly honest with you, I'm not a huge college football guy. I love the professional game. I really don't start diving into these college prospects until the draft time comes up. So when the Steelers season ends and now you start looking forward to the next step and the next phase of the process, the more I watch Roman Wilson, the more I get these Hines Ward vibes. Hines Ward was not anything like, he was not an athletic freak. You know, if anything, he was an athletic freak in the fact that he only had one ACL. But other than that, he didn't have blazing speed. He was not known as the most prolific route runner. What he did is he loved the game. He was hard-nosed. He did not, and as Mike Tomlin would say, did not seek comfort, and he would do the dirty work. When I watch Roman Wilson, whether you're talking about our breakdowns that we have at the Steel Curtain Network on our YouTube channel, or whether you're watching just highlights, the guy is not afraid of doing the dirty stuff. He's blocking when the run play is on the opposite side of the field. Compare that to what we had last year, where wide receivers weren't blocking when the play was right in front of them, not on the opposite side of the field. He goes over the middle with reckless abandon. He puts his team before everything else. He embodies what we as Steeler fans want to see from our players and from our wide receivers. So the more I watch, the more I learn, the more Roman Wilson's becoming one of my favorite picks.
I did an immediate aftermath reaction just yesterday, Jeff, and the analogy I make, and I'm going to give the Steelers the benefit of the doubt, for the organization's ability to draft and develop receivers. When a wide receiver comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's like putting on the Superman cape.
Yeah.
You put on the black and gold, and I'm going to give Pittsburgh the benefit of the doubt. You say, well, why is that? Even Chase Claypool, who's still a free agent at the time of this recording, scored 4 touchdowns in 1 game as a rookie, tied a Steelers rookie franchise record with 11 touchdowns. I will give them the benefit of the doubt with this pick because I saw some chatter where there were some fans that were like, oh, we wanted one of the other stud receivers, loaded receiver class. I'm going to give the Steelers the benefit of the doubt there. I still think there's a move to be made when it comes to the receiver position because I look at Wilson at Michigan in the slot, which is like in an ideal world, Calvin Austin's position. But if he hasn't stayed healthy, if he hasn't produced, Omar Khan's saying, hey, and we can talk about some of these other picks to where they're not getting the level of production that they need at premium positions. There's a reason why for some players, the NFL stands for not for long. That being said, I think Wilson, solid pick. I still think that there's a move to be made, maybe a trade at the receiver position to have a number 2 to complement George Pickens. What say you about that?
I agree, especially about Calvin Austin. His job's on the line right now. He is going to have to go out and prove that he's not just a gadget player, that he's not just going to run jet sweeps and maybe get the occasional handoff or maybe break loose and get free downfield. Sure, the Steelers want a vertical threat, but they feel like they have that in George Pickens. And let's be honest, they also don't the receiver position on Arthur Smith's offense is not what we're typically used to seeing. You don't necessarily need multiple prolific receivers. You need receivers that are going to do their job. Just do your job, you know, and that might be blocking. Well, Calvin Austin III is really small. You know, can you imagine him from the slot trying to crack down on a defensive end? That's not going to be pretty for him. He's going to get flattened once they see him coming. Roman Wilson, although not much bigger in terms of stature, he brings a level of physicality that Calvin Austin doesn't have. And so I think that's a difference maker there. But I agree with you about the sidebar where you said, I think there's a move yet still to be made. You know, we heard from our source that they are working on a deal. Whether they get it done, I don't know. But I think I agree with you. I think there's another move to be made here for the Steelers, wide receiver.
I've heard rumblings it could come out of the NFC West. So obviously Ayuk with the 49ers is like what's been rumored for weeks now. But maybe a deal with like Seattle of a DK Metcalf, a Tyler Lockett, the potential connection with Russell Wilson. It's going to be fascinating in the coming days, in the coming weeks. Like the podcaster's curse, Jeff, is I feel like as soon as we're done recording this, we may find out what that move is.
No, you're probably right. For me, I'm fine with all the players that you mentioned. What I often ask myself is what's the next step upon bringing this individual in? I didn't like the Ayuk deal from the moment those reports started running. Why? Yes, you bring him in and he's a very talented player and I'm not taking that away from him, but you also have to give him a new contract. And after AJ Brown signs his deal prior to day one of the NFL draft last Thursday, that price went up. So I'd rather them get someone like a Deebo Samuel, who still has 2 years left on his current contract, let Omar do an extension and be able to move some money around, move some numbers around. I'm cool with that. I'm not okay with giving up a lot of draft capital and having to pay a ridiculous amount in terms of a new deal with a specific player. So all those players that you mentioned, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, go down, run the gambit. They're all unbelievably talented players that I would love to see wearing the black and gold. But I look at it from an organizational standpoint. They have to do whatever they can to bring them in and not put themselves in dire straits in the future.
A few other names I want to throw out there, potentially. Cortland Sutton with the Broncos coming off a very, very strong season. Probably missing one or two other players there. I don't believe into the rumors about Devontae Adams with the Raiders. I don't buy that. But, any team would love to have a player of that caliber. But I could see Sutton in that mix as well.
Yeah, I Sutton makes sense because I don't think the Steelers would have to give up much to get him. He wants a new deal. The Steelers would probably be more than willing to give up a new deal. He's very similar in terms of stylistically to George Pickens. So you have to ask yourself, do you want another player like that? or do you want a player that's a little, that's built a little bit different? For instance, if we go down the Deebo Samuel path here, he is a different mold compared to George Pickens. So therefore you would have potentially at your X and Z, you would have the George Pickens, Deebo Samuel on the outside. Deebo Samuel can do so many things in terms of even running the football. And then you would have your Roman Wilson in the slot, or maybe it's Quez Watkins, or maybe it's Van Jefferson, a number of players that they have options with at that position. Now you have three players that are completely different skill sets. And so you can be more versatile, in my opinion. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Steelers do if they get a deal done, which still got to get it done, at least as of this being recorded.
Let's go from one Wilson to the other. We'll go with Peyton Wilson on NC State. How soon do you think he could see the field as a starting linebacker, just given injuries that the Steelers have had at this position? I think a big question that Steelers fan is, who's the linebacker opposite Patrick Queen to start the 2024 season?
I think that out of all the draft picks, he probably went into the best situation. And when I say that, think about first round draft pick. Okay. Troy Fautanu comes in. Is he going to compete with Dan Moore? Yes. Will he win the job? We'll see. Not going to be given. Zach Frazier is going to be expected to be the day one starter at center as a second round draft pick. Mm-hmm. Peyton Wilson is a third round pick, comes into an inside linebacker room. Yes, you just got Patrick Queen in free agency. Let's not forget Landon Roberts is still there. I see Peyton Wilson as being, unless Cole Holcomb has a great recovery in his back, I expect Peyton Wilson to be that sub-package linebacker that can get a Landon Roberts off the field, bring that athleticism, that speed onto the field. He's not going to be thrust into a every down linebacker position. That's Patrick Queen. That's why you paid so much money for him. Let him do that. And then you bring in Peyton Wilson in those third down, third and long situations, not to mention he's a great blitzer. And so is Patrick Queen. So you could really get, you could get creative from a pass rush standpoint as well when you have those two backers on the field. I don't think he's going to be expected to be an every down linebacker. They can ease him into this, get him out there nickel, get him out there in dime, let him use his speed and athleticism, diagram plays, chase down ball carriers. I think that he has a very clear cut path to the football field early, and I think it's through sub packages.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. That speed and that athleticism doesn't just show up at the combine, you see it on the field too, and yes, you pop on the tape. I was at that Notre Dame game. I live in Raleigh, North Carolina, and he's chasing down ball carriers where if you talk to people that really scout the sport, they're saying he's running down skill position players from Notre Dame that run 4.3, 4.4 in the 40 downfield. And the thing that stuck out to me is, other than how impressive that looks on tape for a linebacker to do that, is the NC State head coach Dave Dorn told reporters the following Monday after the game that in the history of the NC State program, that's the fastest they've ever tracked any player. Yeah. That includes receivers, defensive backs, that's running crazy. Backs. And so I don't know how far that tracking goes back, but that stuck out to me when he ran that really fast 40 at the combine, and it was among the fastest of all of the linebackers that participated this year. It's like, it's not just him doing that in a cutoff in shorts. That shows up on tape. Why he wins the Chuck Bednarik Award, given to the nation's best defensive player, and the Steelers can bring him along. I don't think he needs to be out on the field immediately. I think special teams is a role that he can thrive in as well. Yep. But I also think about it from the standpoint, too, of like, okay, once he gets comfortable, him chasing down like a Lamar Jackson, that's like the lion hunting prey with how he's able to fly to the football once he gets acclimated to NFL speeds.
And let me say this about Peyton Wilson. I'm not concerned about the injury history. When you look at the injuries that he sustained, they were early in his career. The last two seasons, he has been healthy. I think that's more important than anything else. He's not coming off of two injury-riddled seasons. And some people are already saying like he's a Leighton Vander Esch type. And if you remember when Leighton Vander Esch was coming out into the NFL draft, the neck issues were a real concern, and it turns out that that's ended his career early. He has, after an early retirement last season, I believe. And so I don't see that with him. I see him as a guy that when you watch him train, and this is just him showing clips of what he's doing from an explosive, the exercises he's doing are very explosive, as you would expect. If he has any type of issues with his knees, He's not doing those exercises. I'll tell you that right now. And so I think he has a clean bill of health. The Steelers are comfortable with him in his role. And I think he'll be able to fill that role earlier than a lot of people might think.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm with you there. Very excited to see how all of that translates to the NFL because he was a terror for opposing ACC teams this last season, how that translates to the NFL. Steelers do a nice job, though, bringing their rookies along and not putting too much on them too soon. I want to talk offensive line. Steelers are getting back to bully ball. And I like the pick of Troy Fautanu with the first round pick. You get ahead of your tackle need with Dan Moore Jr. entering the final year of his deal. And I also look at it from the standpoint of we knew this was a loaded offensive tackle class. Maybe that the Steelers did their homework and said, hey, we're not so certain about this next year. And then you draft a first rounder next year, let's say, and that guy has to start right away versus you can bring him along with Dan Moore Jr., Broderick Jones in the mix. What I want to ask you, though, Jeff, is this is how is this going to play out of Steelers want to move Broderick Jones over to the left tackle position where Dan Moore Jr. has played for the last several seasons. It's been below average play, but it's been a very team-friendly contract, like $3.5, $3.6 million to Dan Moore Jr. Now you have another first-round pick at tackle with a guy named Troy, and hopefully Steelers fans can make room when because when you say Troy, you think of Troy Polamalu. But how is this going to shake out of you want to move Broderick Jones over to the blind side, Fautanu plays at the right tackle position, where does that leave Dan Moore? How do you see that playing out?
I think it comes down to who's your better pass blocker. And if Fautanu is the better pass blocker, I want to keep him on the left side. I want him to protect the blind side of the quarterback. And people will talk about whether, you know, well, in Washington with Michael Penix Jr., he played in the left-handed system. I don't necessarily buy into that. Who's your better pass blocker? That's who you want on the left side. Who's your better run blocker? That's who you want on the right side. Dan Moore, we've said this since he was drafted out of Texas A&M, is built to be a right tackle, and yet he just cannot do it. For whatever reason, he should be the road grader. If Broderick Jones is that right tackle, let's not forget a second-round pick out of Florida named Marcus Gilbert, who was drafted to be a left tackle. It didn't pan out. And what did he turn into? A really darn good right tackle for the Steelers for many, many years when that killer B offensive line was just being built and structured around Marquise Pouncey and those type of players. If that's Broderick Jones, that's not a cut on a first-round draft pick that you traded up and got in 2023. I think fans need to realize that. You need bookend tackles. And if he's the right side, even though you might have drafted him and said you have aspirations of him being on the left, and then this unbelievably talented, versatile, gifted athlete in Troy Fautanu falls to you at 20, you take that player. And so you might say, listen, Broderick, like I know we drafted you to be the left tackle, but I think you're going to be really great on the right side for a really long time. And I think you're going to be wearing black and gold for a really long time. Let's pave the way for the running game and let's do our job. I don't think he's going to have an issue with that. I just want them to make a decision prior to training camp so that whatever they decide to do, I don't want this to be a camp battle. You don't want that. He's a second-year player. You got a rookie. Pick a side. Let him go with it. Unless an injury happens, I think that's where they should go. But I'm fine if Broderick Jones is on the right side.
In an ideal world, it works out for the next decade plus where you've got your two tackles.
Yep.
That's in an ideal world. And maybe we could do this pod in future episodes, Jeff, where we're both doing the pod and channeling our inner Troy Fautanu in cutoffs. Like the fact that he wore a cutoff and wanted to show off his physique in college. That to me, you know, I talked to my co-host Ike Taylor about it. We were talking before the draft and he's saying that shows his level of confidence and his ability because he's behaving like you'd see from maybe a DB or a linebacker. He just so happens to be your offensive tackle.
Yeah.
And again, I look at it as getting out ahead of what was going to be a glaring issue. Offensive tackle is one of the biggest positions of need in the NFL. And to say, oh, well, Dan Moore Jr. is probably going to want more money, whether it's with Pittsburgh or somewhere else, even if the performance hasn't been there. And so you look at who's available now, Fautanu falling to the Steelers at 20. And then what next year's class looks like to where it is then not just an area of need, but you're then throwing a rookie right from the frying pan, right into the fire. When Fautanu is ready, then you can put him on the field. Probably at some point in the 2024 season, but it might not be to start like they did with Broderick Jones a season ago.
Don't underestimate the power of the fifth year option either. You know, when it comes between center and tackle, you would want the tackle in the first round so that you have that contractual control for one more year. And a center is not going to be as expensive to keep. And so don't think those decisions don't weigh on an organization when they're like, okay, we got this tackle here. Might not need him right now necessarily, but if we get him in the first round, we have that fifth year option. I think that does play a factor into some of the decisions that are made as it pertains to the NFL draft. I think the Steelers got an absolute steal. No one saw Fautanu being there. No one also saw six quarterbacks going in the top 12 picks. But hey, sometimes teams like the Steelers benefit from other people overdrafting other players, and this is one of those cases, in my opinion.
Let's go to Frazier, and this was a guy up front where you pop on the tape, just is a bully, and the two words I use is violent hands.
Yeah.
And when you pop on the tape from the backyard brawl, with which Pittsburgh fans are very familiar with, going up against other nose tackles, defensive tackles, he just throws guys to the ground like it's nothing. And that excites me up front, because this is a position group when the Steelers have had major success. Mike Wobster, Darmonte Dawson, Marquise Pouncey. It's a position they haven't gotten right in 3 years, but you get Zach Frazier at 51. And if you'd have gone Graham Barton or Jackson Powers Johnson at 20, you're probably reaching a little bit there. So it's the positional value of getting a guy in the second round who looks to be the starter come day one. But again, the two words I'm going to use is violent hands. That's what I noticed with Zach Frazier when I watched the tape.
What I love about Zach Frazier, and this is not, I grew up in West Virginia, so I'm a West Virginian at heart. So when you get a Mountaineer on the roster, I always like that. But at the same time, I like that he's a center. He's not a guard slash center. He's a center. He only plays center. Now, could he flex to guard? I'm sure he could. He's a talented guy. He's played a lot of snaps in college for the West Virginia Mountaineers. But I will say about the last, what have we seen since Marquise Pouncey retired? So you got Kendrick Green, a guard they're trying to try at center. No. Mason Cole was the same. He was a guard as well, that they were kind of like, oh, he could also play center. This guy is a center.
And let me hop in here, Jeff, really quickly too. Let me hop in here too.
Sure.
I loved what I saw on tape from Graham Barton too. I would be lying to you and the listeners and the viewers to say I didn't have a level of concern that he had to play left tackle at Duke.
Right.
Considering he was playing Clemson and Florida State and 4- and 5-star talent. I understand the need to do that, but then to say he just hasn't done that for what he does primarily when he lines up on a football field and he's between the lines. I would be lying to you if I didn't bring up that point in terms of playing the center position, but please continue. I just wanted to bring that up with Graham Barton.
Yeah.
It's not to say that he won't be able to do it in the pros for wherever he lines up. He's a talented player as well. But the Steelers got a guy who specifically plays the center position as well. Exactly. I'm sorry, please continue.
No, you're fine. And then Jackson Powers Johnson goes to the Raiders prior to the Steelers' second round pick. He's projected to be a guard for them, not a center. They want him to be a guard. So again, the Steelers got what they get. They got a center. They got a center. This guy has played nothing but center since the moment he walked into Morgantown, West Virginia, and strapped on the blue and gold for the West Virginia Mountaineers. That means something to me. This is not going to be a, well, you know, I played predominantly guard at Illinois, but they want me to play center in a Hall of Fame quarterback's final year in the league. Okay. Or one of those
too
situations.
Too soon.
So you have these situations that for me, I was just happy they got a guy that this is his bread and butter. Like this is, he is that linchpin in the middle of the line. He's used to making calls in terms of protections. He should be what the Steelers need. If there's one player that I would tab and say day one starter, it's Zach Frazier, et cetera.
Omar Khan was asked about it in the week of the draft before Thursday. And I can't remember if it was the Monday or Tuesday availability he had with Mike Tomlin. And he said, like, look, we see several players that are starting caliber centers in this draft. And it's the positional value where, yes, they could have had Graham Barton or Jackson Powers Johnson, but then they get Zach Frazier at 51. And it's like, even if it's marginally worse, you get an offensive tackle, which just has better positional value than, you know, a tackle compared to any interior offensive lineman.
Yeah.
It's the value. And I think you brought up a great point earlier as well, Jeff, about the fifth year option, and just look at the contract values of the elite level players in the NFL compare an offensive tackle to either the best guard or center, the offensive tackle is going to make more money every single time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Or your grandma here with us, making carne asada.
She does love a cold Corona.
Throw in some dancing.
Oh, we can watch the game.
I'll drink to that.
So a backyard concert with football, food, dancing, and Corona?
And your grandma.
Or we could keep it simple.
Simple is good. Want a Corona?
Thanks. Salud to the perfect day.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I want to ask you as well, was there any player that, like, I love this draft because the Steelers get back to bully ball, right? They get back to, and it's the style of offense they're going to want to run with Arthur Smith. It really excites me to see Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren running behind a revamped line, where they're going to try to run the ball down your throat and there isn't anything you can do to stop it. But was there any player at any point in the draft that you wish the Steelers would have picked instead versus the players that they picked?
Yeah, you could always run this, the hindsight game, and say, yeah, well, they could have gotten what I call, like, they could have gone fancy, right? That they could have at multiple points in the draft, rounds 1 through 3, especially, they could have gone with a skill position player. They could have gone with a Quinyon Mitchell. They could have brought Arnold in as a defensive back. They could have gone with
I've got the list. I got the list here. A.D. Mitchell. The two I really liked was Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. You mentioned Quinyon Mitchell. He was my number one corner on the board out of Toledo. Graham Barton, who I thought was going to be the pick. Nate Wiggins out of Clemson too. And then you mentioned Terrion Arnold out of Alabama as well. The two I really, really liked, I'll go on record saying this, I really like Brian Thomas. I really like Quinyon Mitchell. But again, I look at it from the standpoint of not just fulfilling what could be a need this year, but next year as well, when Dan Moore Jr.'s contract is up. That is a dire need that you have for the sustainability of your football team. Like, forget what's been a putrid offense for the last several years. That falls apart in an instant if you don't have your tackle position figured out from an offensive standpoint.
I'll tell you a quick story. I said this on our live stream. We did a live stream at Steel Curtain Network and Fans First Sports Network during all 3 days of the draft. And so we're watching the draft unfold on Thursday night. And I told the story that for people that know me, they won't be surprised to know that I was a little rambunctious little kid. And I could never sit still. A good friend of ours, a neighbor across the street, he would call me the grasshopper because I could just never sit still. And my dad used to yell at me, Jeff, will you quit messing around? Just quit messing around, will you? And I would just be like, okay, whatever. And I just kept on, you know, doing my thing. For the Steelers, I felt like with the offensive line, it was like, can you quit messing around? Can you quit trying to move these pieces around and get these guys playing out of position? Quit messing around and fix it. Fix it once and for all. that's the when I kept on thinking about the way the draft unfolded, I was so happy that the Steelers finally said, quit messing around. Let's fix the offensive line. Then we'll worry about the fancy players next year in that draft. Because let's also be honest, those players can come in and start typically a lot sooner as it pertains to whether defensive back, wide receiver, running back, etc. So what did they do? They invested heavily in the offensive line. Thank you, Steelers. You finally quit messing around and you got the players that you need or you deem that you need to actually get this thing right. And so you could talk about the running backs. You could talk about the wide receivers. If a quarterback has no time to throw, the best wide receiver in the draft is going to be able to do nothing. Same with, you know, the running back position. And so I think the Steelers' approach, while it might not have been sexy, while the fans might have bemoaned some of the selections over the talent, the fancy picks, that's fine. You can have those feelings. But what they did is they quit messing around, like my dad used to tell me, and they finally addressed the position that needs to be addressed and should have been addressed years ago, but they finally got it done. So kudos to Omar Khan, Andy Weidel, Mike Tomlin, and the whole front office for finally doing what they needed to do.
Let me piggyback off that really quickly as well. I always evaluate it on what do your biggest rivals think about how you drafted. And there's some people in my office that are Bengals fans. There's another one that's a Browns fan, you know, Ravens. And when I look online, not just national media, but media that covers other teams saying, oh, the Steelers knocked it out of the park. That tells me everything that I need to know. And like, I'll give you the example of the Ravens standpoint. When I saw they got Nate Wiggins, it's like, dang, they got their corner to shadow whoever your number one receiver is for the next 5 to 10 years. Like straight up, it was like another guy fell to them after they just got Kyle Hamilton a few years ago, where you're scratching your head after being like, how the heck did that happen? But that same sentiment with how the Steelers drafted this year existed yet again. And I can't wait to see what was a really strong 2023 class, how this class shakes out in Omar Khan in year two in his new position as the guy running the charges, the general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You keep stacking good drafts. That's how you build a team that is good for a very long time, not just a flash in the pan through some free agent acquisitions and things like that. He's doing that. But when you stack drafts like he has in 2023 and 2024, now all of a sudden you're looking at a team that is transitioning from maybe a pretender to a constant contender in the AFC. And I think that's what all fans should be excited about.
What's the team's biggest need now that we've gone after the draft? And Jeff, I think it was you who pointed out that a season ago, they didn't end up signing Quan Alexander until late July. Yeah. So there are still moves to be made. How can the Steelers upgrade between now, we'll say the start of training camp and week one of the 2024 season? What moves still need to be made?
Well, I think it's on the outside on both sides of the football. It's cornerback and it's also a wide receiver. I think the more glaring need is actually at cornerback, whether you're talking about in the slot or whether you're talking about on the outside. There are some names out there that are free agents that wouldn't require you to give up draft capital in 2025. You're talking about your Stephon Gilmore, maybe Steven Nelson, a reunion with Steven Nelson, who has played very well in Houston, by the way. Or is it maybe it's safety, a Justin Simmons who's still floating around? Like how much are these guys wanting a deal? And I keep on referencing something that Bud Dupree said last year, who might still be in the, he might be in the works too. Bud Dupree is as an edge rusher as well. When Bud Dupree was, everyone thought he was going to sign with Pittsburgh, right? Why didn't he sign with Pittsburgh? He didn't want a 2-year deal. He wanted a 1-year contract and Atlanta offered him a 1-year deal. The Steelers wanted two. I know why they wanted two. Let Omar move the money. Let him make things financially right for the organization. And he went down to Atlanta. Some players might not want that 2-year deal. They might just want to play well for one season and then get one more bag before they call it a career. I understand that. There's a lot of moving pieces in these negotiations, but there are players out there. I think there's a lot more corners out there in terms of free agency than there are receivers, which that shouldn't surprise me then when you're talking about they might be trading for a receiver. A receiver I really like, by the way, this is not inside information at all. This is just me. If they could somehow get Terry McLaurin, I'd freaking love it. I don't think it would cost as much as your Deebo Samuels, the Tyler Lockett's, But if you could get Terry McLaurin here in the black and gold, I would freaking love it, because I've loved that guy since he came to the league. He's been in that dreadful organization in Washington for way too long. Get him in the black and gold. That's what I say.
Hey, men's medium. Let's get his jersey number. I'll send you my address for after the show, Jeff. Last question I want to ask you before I get you out of here is the fifth-year option with Najee Harris. Should the Pittsburgh Steelers pick it up? Will they? I think that they will. We already know that the reports are out there that they're not going to pick up Justin Fields' fifth-year option, but team has to decide on those officially between now and May 2nd. How does this play out?
I think they pick it up. It's not an expensive deal. It's not like the $26 million it would be for Justin Fields as a quarterback. So I think they pick it up. I think they would be smart to pick it up. And I think that you have him for one more year. If you want to franchise tag him after that, you can. If Najee Harris remains healthy and they still have that dual threat capability with Jaylen Warren, I'd want to keep those two together as long as I can. And maybe, just maybe, he would be the next quarterback, or the last running back, which most people don't realize, it's the last running back to get a second contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Former Georgia Bulldog Verron Haynes was the last running back. Now, they offered one to Le'Veon Bell. He just didn't take it. Other than that, that's the last running back to get a second contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So Najee Harris, pick up his option, keep him around for a fifth year. If he stays healthy, I'd love to see him stay in Pittsburgh. He's been productive. I don't understand why people hate this guy so much. I don't like his attitude all the time. I'll be open about that. But from a production standpoint, he's gotten over 1,000 yards in his first three seasons. Keep him in town. He's good at what he does. And when you have Jaylen Warren there to kind of ease that load, you could have a really good 1-2 punch for a really long time. So I say pick it up.
Yeah, he stays healthy and he doesn't fumble either. So, I really like that combo as well. I want to see what he does against an offensive line where he's not getting hit in the backfield immediately.
That too.
And that I will give him the benefit of the doubt, because I think running backs, just again, positional value are a dime a dozen, but I'd be lying to you to say I would be excited to get back to that physicality, that bully ball style of football when we think of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Sure. Jeff, I want to give you the floor if you have anything that you need to plug for what you're working on. And
yeah,
I want to thank you for your time today, but the floor is yours. Anything that you need to plug, floor is yours.
I appreciate it. You all can follow me on Twitter if you'd like. It's at @jhartman, @HARTMAN_PIT. You can hear all my work, like my Let's Ride podcast, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning on the Steel Curtain Network. So wherever you get your podcast, search Steelers or Steel Curtain Network. We'll be one of the top options there. Follow us. We appreciate it. You can check us out at steelcurtainnetwork.com. Everywhere else, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Steel Curtain Network, you'll find my work. And yeah, I appreciate you having me on, Mark. It's been a lot of fun.
Good stuff as always, and we'll have to get you again before the start of the season. For my guest, Jeff Hartman, I'm Mark Bergen. Thanks for watching another edition of the Believe in Steelers show. See you next time. Take care. So long, everybody.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called Needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Transform your home in one weekend and get big savings on everything for your project at Menards. Menards carries the largest selection of Purdy painting tools you need to get your painting project started. From brushes, paint, roller covers, and even paint kits. Hurry in and save big money on Purdy painting supplies. Get everything you need for your painting project at Menards. Plus, check out Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.